What's up? Welcome back to another awesome episode of Life Inner Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo. We got Polish Peter as a co-host today. And dude, we have kind of a little bit of a morbid yet sobering and quite frankly, a very, very important message for people. You know, about a month ago, I had a friend pass. He was 47 years old, had a heart attack, and left his family behind, his wife, you know, children. And that's heartbreaking enough. And, you know, none of us ever think it's going to be our time. And especially when you're younger, like, you know, and this really hit me because, you know, this guy's younger than me. I competed against him in bodybuilding and like just great dude. And it kind of rocks your world. And when that happens to you or someone you care about, like there's an incredible amount of grief and there's all sorts of like, I mean, so many questions, right? And your mind wrestles with all these things, but there's also a very, you know, heavy, practical issue now that you have to deal with, which is like, you know, what do you do as far as like, there's so many things to consider. And like, you might have life insurance and you have accounts and you have all, in addition to when you're coping with the stress of someone passing, you also have this additional weight and this burden of trying to figuring out, you know, the estate side of things. And so on this episode, we're going to talk about like, what are some of the things you can do to ease that side of the burden of when something like unfortunate and terrible happens so that you can be prepared and not add additional stress to your family or loved ones, you know, if you pass. And so, you know, man, like this is a topic that we covered with our Life Inner members a couple years ago because we had one of our Life Inner coaches had passed. And so this was something that was front and center for all of us. And we've decided to share this with you. And it's not going to be a replication of that, but rather we're going to touch on some of the main points that you really got to think about, you know, if you're alive right now and if you're breathing, if you're above ground, you know, what are some of the things I can do to ease that burden for my family, you know, when it's my day?
Yeah, it's a fun topic. Let's talk about this because I think, you know, obviously a lot of times people don't want to look at it, but I think it's a necessary thing that you have to look from that perspective. You know,
Jesse Itzler, the founder of NetJets, he's married to Sarah Blakely. He said this once, he's like, if you haven't picked out whether you want to be buried or cremated yet, you just have not come to grips with your own mortality. Like you just haven't fully faced and embraced the fact that you are going to die. Like we all are going to die. Someday you could be listening to this podcast years down the road and Peter and I may not even be on this planet anymore. And so we all have that same fate. That. What's that?
I want to be talking about that.
You know? Well, dude, like, yeah. you need to face your reality, bro. Yeah. You're not going to be here someday.
I know. Listen, I know.
And so like, so all of this happens for all of us. And so this, yeah. you gotta make that, you know, and this drives me nuts is when people will say like, sometimes you may have family members, for instance, who you don't know anything about their estate. Like you don't even, they may not even have an executor. They may not even have anybody in mind to do this stuff. And they're getting older and you're sitting there like, hello, like we got to have some conversations around this. And it can be very uncomfortable because, you know, you don't want to come off like you're trying to like grub at their stuff and like, hey, am I in the will or, you know, or anything like that. But like the truth is you need to know this stuff. You know, if you have aging parents, you need to know where these things are to make your life easier when they pass. Because like that's, and I know they would never willingly like leave you a mess, but that's what happens so many times. And I hear the stories over and over again. And an ounce of prevention here like is worth just like so much after everything happens. Cause like when that day comes or when they're in the hospital and they're, you know, not able to think clearly, like it's too late. So you got to have these conversations now with your loved ones, and you yourself can do everyone else a favor by giving some serious thought to this stuff in advance.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about this, man. So obviously one of the first things that I think everybody should be looking from the perspective as well, right? Having something on paper, actually sit down and putting all these things on paper.
Yeah. So the will is the easy part. Like, you know, and a will is, dude, it's so cheap. And, you know, you can have your will set up and really, you know, really differentiate. And by the way, let me also say that this, Peter and I are not legal professionals. So this is just some experience
I'm not even legal.
We're not telling you what to do. So talk with a qualified professional on this so we don't get ourselves into like
Yeah,
into
I know.
trouble
Yeah.
here.
I mean, yeah, take it with a grain of salt what we're saying here. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you're going to want to kind of think about some your will. Like, where are things going to go? Who do you want to have what? You know, is it going to be your spouse? And by the way, like, I'll tell you this stuff, dude, it gets a little bit more complicated than you think, because when you really sit down and think about who you want to get your stuff, maybe you do want it to be your spouse, or maybe you don't want it to be your spouse and you want it to be your kids, but maybe you want it to be your kids, but only if they're meeting certain criteria. And like, you know, what if, okay, so, and here's a question too. If you're a Christian and you're a believer, there's this little parable in the Bible about, you know, parable of the talents. And basically it says, like, to he who has been given and who's been responsible, you'll get more. And to somebody who's been irresponsible, what you have will be taken from you. And so do you want to include that in your will? Like, so maybe you have one kid who's kind of a little bit rogue and they're bad with money, but you have three kids. And like, if you give more to one than the other, is that going to cause dissension between your kids? It's just not worth it. And would you rather have them waste the money than disrupt the family? What if you have a kid who's a high paid surgeon, and you have another child who's a teacher, a PE teacher, and clearly there's a discrepancy in the earnings there. Do you take that into consideration? Well, they need it more than this person. Like, and by the way, I don't have the answers for this, but these are the questions you really got to think of. Now, one way to circumvent some of this stuff is I recently, you know, last few months ago, read a book that was recommended to me called Die with Zero, which does kind of like solve this issue for you, because the goal here is that you essentially give away, if you have the intention of giving away things to your kids or whoever, for instance, like at any point, it's better to give it while you're still alive. And I'll let you read the book to get more clarity in that. But essentially the idea is like, hey, you can give it while you're alive and they can enjoy it. You can see them enjoy it. And you can also see how they steward it. And like, are they using it for good or not? But you have the will. 'Cause if you don't have a will, like you're going right into, you know, you're going right into the legal system, and you kind of lose a little bit of control over that.
Yeah, so I think that's everybody probably heard about that and should know that and talk to your attorneys or whoever it might be that will be able to help you write this out. I think another thing that is really important is, and actually I'm having conversation with some people in what's going on in my life is having some kind of either power of attorney or having something that is giving someone a right to talk on your behalf.
Like a living will too, right?
Yeah, living the will, but even like from a, like, so I know someone right now that they're in the hospital, they're not able to talk. You know what I mean? And it's very difficult for their family to be able to make any kind of decisions because of the fact that there was never a power of attorney in that particular case. So, I mean, obviously, it depends on the state too, because I've done some research on that too. It depends on the state, whether it's next of kin, whether it's siblings, whether it's, you know, spouse, whoever has the first rights of kind of dealing with this kind of stuff. But I think it will be very beneficial to have conversations about that and power of attorney of what, who is able to make decisions on your behalf when you are incapacitated in some shape or form.
Yeah.
So,
And by the way, that power of attorney can be specific based on different types of decisions. Like, you could have one person handle the finances, one person handle the health. Like, so it doesn't have to be the single person unless you want it to be.
yeah. So, and, you know, and it's, you know, it's really difficult. Like even, you know, yesterday me and my wife were talking about like what happens when you are in a place where you are not able to feel like it's you're, you know, vegetable, you know what I mean? Kind of a thing. So all these kinds of conversations need to happen, I think, ahead of schedule to be able to go and make it simpler. It's not going to be easier, but I think it's going to make it simpler for people if something does happen, when something does happen, you know, whether you pass away or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So you got, you know, you, so you, for instance, so just to cover, like, you got your last will, or it's called last will and testament. It's your will. You may have a trust or not. That kind of depends on how many, what you have for assets, you know, and if you really need to avoid probate or not. But like, for most people probably don't need a trust. But again, like, I'm not a legal professional here. You'd have your power of attorney. You'd have a living will, which is also kind of called your advanced health care directive, which basically specifies the treatments that you want, like, you know, life support, those kinds of things. You're gonna have to talk about HIPAA authorization, like who has access to my to my medical records, those things.
Charts and everything, yep.
So that's that, and that, and that stuff, an attorney can handle all that for you, and it's relatively inexpensive. And the only time, once it's done, you want to periodically review this stuff, you know, when you have major life changes, if you have a change in your family, you have another kid, if you have a spouse that you, you know, that separate, those kinds of things. And it's probably a good idea just to, as your assets change as well, to review those periodically, but you don't need to look at it every month. Like, you know, I'm talking like, you know, every year is probably okay, depending on your situation. But the thing that I think that is very, very, very important is making sure that the appropriate people or person has access to all of your like life documents and all of your passwords, all of your accounts, your phone. Like this is like something like, and I'll tell you what I've done, and this is not a recommendation, but just like something that's worse for me. So for instance, what I've done is I've put together a Google sheet. And in there, I will have things like, they're like, hey, here's, you know, all the, my frequently asked, you know, password, secondary, like it'll ask, you know, like who's your mask, what's your mascot, your middle name, you know, maternal, your mother's maiden name, all that kind of stuff.
What is your mascot?
I can't tell you, bro. Cause I'd be,
it's,
I mean,
just you know, me and you talking, dude. It's just me. And
I don't know, man. I can't tell you. But you know, things like social security numbers. I'd also recommend you have like, you know, lists of people who you trust in certain things. And so, for instance, let's say you are a business owner or investor, and you know your spouse is not involved in the business, or they don't know how to invest. Like, who can you send them to talk to that you trust implicitly, like to do the right thing and to help them through that? So like, for instance, I have the names of people in there to talk about certain things. Like, hey, if in regards to this company, you'll talk to this person. In regards to these investments, you talk to this person. And you know, each of these, and a little comment about what you should, you know, what you should talk to them about, have their contact information, their email and their phone. Your accountant, you should have their information in there. You know, if you're a real estate agent, maybe you give me your broker's information is in there, you know, maybe a list of your documents and hyperlinks to those. So you have a link to your will and a link to your power of attorney and those kinds of things. You know, that's just getting started. The other thing that I've done is I've included all of my, so my version one of this, which I've updated, was basically I have all of my bank accounts, all of my like IRA accounts, like all everything, like where all my assets are, you know, all of that stuff in a spreadsheet. And I originally had the URL and the password, but then I realized like, man, well, I change these passwords pretty frequently and like I can't come in here and update this every single time. So what I decided to do there was use a password protection system, software, whatever you call it. Yep. That now holds all of those in a specific, they call them vaults or folders, and all of those passwords and accounts are in a folder, and I've shared access to that with the people that I want to see it. And so now, by the way, does that mean that they can go in there right now and check what I have? Yeah. Do I care? No. And if you care, then maybe you shouldn't pick that person to begin with. Like that's, if you don't trust them to look at it now, then you, I don't know if I'd leave it to them when you pass. So for instance, I mean, I'm looking at this now. I even have things in there like my Rapid Rewards and Delta points. I have like my IHG and my hotel. Like, listen, dude, I got like a couple hundred thousand points on these hotel things. Like I want somebody to get those things, right? If you have QuickBooks, your accounting software, make sure that's in there. Your email accounts, like, oh my gosh, you have to make sure somebody has access to your email. Your bills, like I would include a list of your bills, like what's in there. Maybe entities that you own or assets that you own. I'm looking at here, man, like, you know, if you have crypto, you're gonna wanna have information about that. And then I'm looking here, like, and of course, like, you know, all of your bank account information, like you should have bank account numbers, retirement account numbers, college accounts, any kind of accounts, have that account number in there so they can, and then the contact information, like, you know, all that stuff is super valuable. I'm looking through here. That's most of it, man. Like what, that's most of kind of what I put in here. But again, like when I pass, I want people to know exactly where everything is. Because, dude, like, now luckily, like, my dad was fairly organized when he passed. My dad died at 57, and he had a big drawer. Everything was paper back then. You know, he died in 2004, and everything was on a piece of paper. Like, he had it all in a folder. But most people don't even have that. You know, like, if you're, I don't know, you know, I know, do they have life insurance? Do they not have life insurance? Do they have like pension? Do they, like, who knows unless you take the time to really spell this stuff out.
Yeah, I think that's really important stuff that you mentioned. I mean, I don't know how much I can add to that because you kind of went down to all kinds of details in there. One thing I would say, hopefully, am I any of the beneficiaries in there somewhere, like maybe those 200,000 points or something at
Dude,
least
no, but
now?
I do have something for you. This is a late Christmas gift. I don't know if you can see this. I bought this for you, bro. It's the Little Golden Book biography of Tom Brady. I did buy this
Look.
for you because I know you're a huge fan.
That looks like total AI. Even that picture does not even look like him. That looks like a. Did you
It
just
says
print this
illustrated
out?
by Mackie something. So like, I mean,
This is
dude,
actual book?
it is an actual book, bro. I bought this for you for Christmas. Look, it tells Tom Brady's story, bro. I'll give this to you at the next event. This is for you, this is for you, my brother. Merry Christmas. Merry late Christmas.
No comment. No comment. I'm Brady. I can't believe it.
But so anyway, that answers your question.
Anyway, so yeah, talk about squirrel. Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna get right back to the episode, but before we do, I'm so excited to finally share this with you. The Business for Life book is finally launching. I've taken 3+ years of my life, 15 years of academic training, 19 years in business, and put all of this into a one single source for you to create an amazing life and business you love. If you've been following the podcast for any period of time, you know this is all what we're about. And never before have I taken all the principles, all the lessons, all the experiences into one place so that you can have a step-by-step blueprint for achieving it. It's meant to be tactical. It's meant to be a roadmap. It's not a fluffy business book, but it's something you can actually use and refer to achieve the freedom you wanted the business for, so that you can get your time back, so that you can get your life back. Go to businessforlife.com to learn more. You can grab your copy off Amazon, and the instructions are right there. I'm so excited to be part of this journey alongside you, and I have something here that I know 1,000% is going to help you like nothing else ever has before. And I'm proud to present this to you and be part of that. So go get that book and let's get back to the episode.
No, but the other thing that I want to say is this. So my wife, what she does for a living, some of you guys probably heard on this particular podcast, she works a lot of clients who are elderly. So there's been many discussions that she had with some of her clients. Let's say their spouse passed away. And let's say it's a conversation when the husband has passed away and now wife is basically there by herself. And she has no idea how to even pay the bill because he did everything. Okay. So I think it's really important for the couples to sit down. Like when my wife comes to me, sometimes she asks me, hey, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? I ask her sometimes to either like sit with me to do this or how would you do it without me? And those kinds of things, because I think it's really important that, granted, you might have divided up your responsibilities in a household, but I think it's important to for the spouses to have those kinds of conversations to be able to go, hey, if I wasn't here, how would you pay this bill? And you know, whether it's just an electricity bill or whatever it might be. I'm telling you, man, there has been cases that I heard from my wife about that the wife doesn't even know how to pay the electricity bill.
Dude, yeah.
So I think it's really important to for spouses to sit down and you know share like what they do and talk about that what they do. You know what I mean? So the wife or the husband, whoever it might be, it can step into it. Granted, they're not doing this right now. Let's say they're not the one paying the bills, but if the time comes, they can step into that situation and actually pay the bill.
Yeah, dude. So important. Like, I hear that so many times where one spouse is doing all the bills on one side of the equation and the other spouse is doing other things and they just have no clue. So like, I would also encourage you to create a video perhaps, and make sure they have access to it. You walk them through these things. You say, hey, you know, this is all the stuff. And of course that's gonna be super emotional for them, because if they're watching that video after you pass, like, that'll be really hard for them, but it'll be super helpful for them to have this information. You know, if you have multiple businesses, like, you're gonna want to, like, you know, have that information on your LLCs. You're gonna want to have links to, you know, your merchant account access, you know, two-factor authentication, because chances are, like, if they try to get it, oh, dude, Let the give them your computer password. Like, give them your computer password. Like, I know, especially today where it's biometrics, but you can also set a password. Make sure they have that. Can you imagine, dude? Like, I have so much stuff that would make their life easier, because, like, if they try to access your sites from their computer, they may get a two-factor authentication and it might go to their phone or their email. And if you don't have access to that, now that's another problem. Your spouse should or whoever that person is, like, make sure they know your code to get into your phone. Like, all of these things, you just got to be totally transparent. And hopefully you have that person or those people in your life that you can do that with, because it's heartbreaking when you see all of this compounded and God forbid, like, there's, you know, some assets somewhere that you don't know about and you just, they go unclaimed. And those, dude, I've seen some of these stats. It's staggering how many assets go unclaimed when people pass, because the people just don't know about it. They don't know how to access it. They don't have the information. Really quick also, if you would like the template copy that I gave to our members a couple years ago, it's a Google Sheet. Come to the Life and Air Facebook group. It's called Build a Life and Business You Love. If you just go to facebook.com/groups/Life and Air, and we'll put that link in the description as well. Just come to the group, post it in the thread or the post on the page. Say, hey, you know, Wojo, can I tag me, Jason Wojo? Hey, can I get a copy of that template, legacy template is what I call that, I think. And then I'd be glad to have the team send that to you, or I can get that to you myself. Hopefully that helps you. And then, again, there's a bunch of ideas in there on things you really want to include and things to, like, look out for. You know, if you have an internet or an e-commerce business, like having access to your Amazon account, if it's like, you know, it's having access to your website, like those kinds of things, your WordPress, you know, like, so there's every single thing you do every day. I think we underestimate how much we just, you know, we do it every day. So we don't realize it, but imagine somebody trying to figure that out on their own and how difficult that could be and how long and laborious that task of figuring that out could be. Right. And so, like, you don't want that for anybody. They're already grieving your loss. And
exactly.
Share this with somebody else. Like, give it to people, like, give the template, say, hey, you know, this can be a hard conversation. I get it, but, like, give it to somebody else. And by the way, the reason I chose to do a Google Sheet instead of a spreadsheet is because I can update it and then everybody's working off the same version, you know, if something changes, like, versus, like, having to worry about someone having an outdated, you know, Excel file somewhere. So that's kind of what I've done, man. Like, anything you think I missed?
I don't know. So probably somebody's asking this question because with everything that's going on in the world about people stealing information and all that kind of stuff, right? So your entire life is in that one spreadsheet. So how you protect it? So from people to getting into it?
Well, for me, I'm kind of relying on the password management software, you know?
How do you protect that sheet? Did you protect that sheet? Do you password protect that sheet?
The sheet is password protected as well, but that's all in the, they can get that through the, so if somebody hacked into, like, the password protection software, they could probably trace it down, but they'd still have to know, like, the URL, because, like, it doesn't automatically pop up all the, like, they don't see all the sites, they'd have to know where they are, and so, like, there'd still be a little bit of a rabbit trail, but someone could figure it out.
I'm saying is, like, think about it. Someone, gets into your email, like steals your email information to get into your email.
Oh, right? Yeah, I don't email the information.
No, but hold on with me. So they get into email, right? So they get access to your email. They got your username and password. So most likely they get a username and password to your Google Workspace or whatever that holds your spreadsheet as well, right?
So no, that's password protected.
So the sheet is password protected.
Yeah.
By some kind of other password that you give to the person that is going to get access to that. That's what I wanted to clarify for the people.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, like, you could do this on paper, like, if you want to.
Yep.
And, like, here's the thing though, dude. Like, I don't know if it's any safer. Like, you know what I mean? I guess if you're going to get a security deposit box at a bank, you could do that. But if the bank burns down, or you could put in a safe at your house, but if your house gets broken in, like, there's no foolproof way to do it.
Yeah. But at least you're 90% better than most people. So.
Yeah, like, and it's like, and I don't know, like, I'm sure this stuff gets, I mean, there's fraud everywhere. Like, but I just wouldn't lose sleep over it. Do what you can do, like, reasonably, and then, you know, and maybe you do have an attorney have all this stuff for you if you want to be ultra conservative, but also, dude, attorneys go bad too. Like, there is no fail-safe way.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, so hopefully this was a beneficial podcast episode for you. I think it's a needed conversation to have. It's not the most exciting conversation, but I think hopefully you're going to at least take one step towards that full picture. So I want you today, right now, as you're listening to this particular episode, what's the one thing I can do right now towards, if I don't have this stuff in place, what's the one thing I can do right now towards getting this thing done? Whether it's a spreadsheet, whether it's going into your passwords and sharing with your wife or husband, whether it's, you know, looking from all your accounts that you have, do you have beneficiaries set up in there? Something, take it one step towards that, because like I said, you never know what might happen. So
that's it.
Yeah, hopefully this was beneficial for you guys.
All right, guys, we will see you next week. Take care.